Hello, I'm Sheldon Kagan. This is number 0792, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0792. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, Neil Gibson, founder and editor-in-chief of Neil Gibson's Twisted Comics, is back on the show talking about his latest graphic novel, a poker-themed project called Trapped.
A guy called Joe Stapleton. It's based on his true life experiences in the world of poker, and it's such an interesting world, the world of poker, how it really is. What annoys him is that in films and TV shows, it's always portrayed incorrectly. People who play poker get annoyed that it's not authentic. The only film they've ever seen that's authentic is Rounders, so he wanted this to be the next Rounders. He actually went on a rant because I don't really like James Bond, but I really liked Casino Royale, and he hated the poker scene there, and I asked why, which maybe I shouldn't have done, because he went on a rant about all the things that were wrong with it.
Actor Michael Campion, best known from Fuller House as Jackson Fuller, is also a magician with a Halloween-themed scary act. Which came first, acting or magic?
Acting did, in fact, come first, but magic was a very close second. I started acting when I was 5, and then I got into magic when I was about 8 years old, so very close. First of all, I've just always loved performing. I mean, I can remember when I was really little and loving the musical theater, you know, productions that I was in. And when I was 8 years old, my aunt and uncle, who were professional clowns at the time, they got me my first magic kit for Christmas, and I absolutely adored it. It was fantastic.
Stuart Nellman is in with another edition of Book Banter.
Hi, I'm Stuart Nellman, and welcome to the Book Banter Spooktacular. I'll be examining a selection of works that will give you the right amount of chills and thrills as Halloween comes closer. So quote the Raven, nevermore, soon on the Stuff File program.
And there's lots and lots of Stuff File news, and of course, an idiot of the day. The guest Slater, the person who told you this was show number 0792, was Sheldon Kagan, a retired party DJ and impresario from right here in Montreal. And an all-around great guy. Not only him, but also his entire family. He's enjoying his retirement right now and living La Vida Loca. Thank you very much, Sheldon, for doing this edition of the Guest Slate on the Stuff File program, a show that is listener-supported, fan-funded radio that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Well, let's get right to the stuff. When cops in Portland, Oregon pulled over a 1994 Ford Taurus that had been stolen on October the 9th, they met 35-year-old Reginald Reynolds and 37-year-old Maya Bagginstos, along with their toys, a loaded .357 Magnum, a bag of methamphetamine, $1,360 in cash, 3 white pills that Bagginstos said were OxyContin, and a metal pipe. A vehicle search yielded more meth, 2 scales, and a brown bag that said on it, "Definitely not a bag full of drugs." Inside they found, well, a bag full of drugs. It was more meth, a total of about a half pound. Both were charged with multiple felonies.
I guess irony can be pretty ironic sometimes.
Indeed.
Define irony.
What, that story wasn't enough irony for you? Okay, I'll give you one more. In Stadtallendorf, Germany, on October the 16th, a state-of-the-art fire station that had been open less than a year burned to the ground. The fire started in a vehicle and quickly spread, destroying 10 fire engines and causing between 20 and 24 million euros worth of damage. Said District Fire Inspector Lars Schaefer, "It is a nightmare for a firefighter." Well, thank you, Captain Obvious. He went on to say that the station was not required to have fire alarms because it was classified as a building holding equipment. Schaefer said the building would be reconstructed quickly for safety and for local morale.
Firefighters fighting fires is the job we do. We turn up in our big red truck, ready to rescue you.
Yeah, but who rescues the firefighters? In Port St. Lucie, Florida, on October the 14th, police responded to a report of an explosion. As they arrived at the scene, 39-year-old Joseph Morton began yelling at them from his backyard, then came into the front yard holding a flamethrower. Police asked Morton to drop the weapon, but he wouldn't. Luckily, one officer was close enough to grab it out of his hands. Morton then moved inside his house and got a flashlight, which he tried to blind officers with. Law enforcement tased him, and he was taken into custody. Morton was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and resisting an officer. And you know, Stuff File listeners out there who are regulars to the show, you will notice that this is yet another senseless flamethrower crime. They're becoming habit-forming. Yeah. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, there are a lot of great storied companies out there, but even they can make mistakes. Here are two such cases. In early October, passengers aboard a Qantas flight from Sydney, Australia to Tokyo were treated, or maybe not, to an R-rated film with sexual material and brief graphic nudity on their seat screens, and it couldn't be turned off. Because of technological problems, passengers weren't able to choose their entertainment, so the crew keyed up Daddy-O, starring Dakota Johnson and Sean Penn, and let it run for about an hour before switching to something more family-friendly. One passenger said on social media, "It was super uncomfortable for everyone," said a Qantas spokesperson. "We apologize to customers for this experience."
That's why it makes flying Qantas uniquely Australian.
Meanwhile, the BBC apologized on October the 10th after releasing a weather forecast predicting winds in London of 20,000 kilometers per hour. Matt Taylor, a meteorologist for the network, soothed concerns by saying, "Hurricane Milton hasn't made it to us here in the UK." He added that a data glitch had caused the extreme forecast, also warning of overnight temperatures of 759 degrees Fahrenheit in Nottingham. By the way, for the record, 759 degrees Fahrenheit is more than 130 degrees Fahrenheit hotter than the melting point of lead, but less than 120 degrees Fahrenheit of the mean surface temperature on Venus. Anyway, meteorologist Taylor went on to say, "Folks are working to solve the issue." Gee, Matt, do you have any other words of wisdom to share with us?
Don't forget, if you see such weather phenomenon, don't forget, like to see pictures of it. Send them to weatherpics@bbc.co.uk and you get more weather information, of course, on the BBC Weather website. Take care.
You too. Anyway, let's get to our first guest here in this edition of the Stuff File program, shall we? Neil Gibson, the founder and editor-in-chief of TeePub, is back. TeePub is a British comic book publisher, and one of their latest projects is called Trapped. Neil joins us via Zoom from the UK. Hi, Neil.
Hi, how are you doing?
Just tickety-boo. Thank you very much for doing this again. I really appreciate it. Now, I understand that Trapped is based on a poker commentator?
Yes, it's a guy called George Stapleton. It's based on his true life experiences in the world of poker, and it's such an interesting world, the world of poker, how it really is. What annoys him is that in films and TV shows, it's always portrayed incorrectly. It's not how people who play poker get annoyed that it's not authentic. The only film they've ever seen that's authentic is Rounders. So he wanted this to be the next Rounders.
You know, there are a lot of poker television shows on where coverage of the events are taking place. I happen to be one of the people who watch them. Are you saying that movies and films about poker are not real, or even those shows are not real?
Oh, no, those shows are real, but in movies and TV shows, like the fictional versions. There's actually, while we were writing it, he actually went on a rant because I don't really like James Bond, but I really liked Casino Royale. And he hated the poker scene there. And I asked why, which maybe I shouldn't have done, because he went on a rant about all the things that were wrong with it. And I thought this was so funny. I said, no, this is going in the story. Because there's things that I don't play poker, so I didn't notice the mistakes. But people who play poker found it inconceivable that this, you know, $100 million film couldn't get basic bits of poker right. So he wants to make sure that this was very authentic and honored the sport of poker.
Okay, so he's an evangelist about the idea of how poker is displayed and portrayed. But was it a tough sell on his part for you to do this, or were you on board right away?
I was on board right away. I mean, we met. I can't even remember how it started, but we met, and I think we wanted to get a story about poker, and he pitched a few ideas to us, and then he just started mentioning stuff about talking about his life experiences. And I thought, that's more interesting than any of the other ideas. And that's how it evolved into basing the story off his life experiences in the world of poker. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that.
Now, I understand you started a Kickstarter page for Trapped. Tell us about that.
Well, we did. It's just finished today, actually. It was successful, I think, in the first 24 hours.
Wow.
And the result of it is actually interesting. I've never had such a response from people in terms of people trying to adapt it and turn it into an animation. So German TV production companies have reached out to us. We've had someone trying to rep it to sell it in the US and the UK. Someone else on the basis of the Kickstarter has reached out to me to make a comic with him about one of his titles. It's gotten quite a strong reaction, which I wasn't expecting.
Well, you have been very successful with TPUB over the years, and I'm just wondering, as time goes on, like, for instance, you just described how you were surprised by this. Are you still surprised in some cases by the success that you might have with a particular project?
I guess. First of all, it's no longer TPUB, actually. We got some investors who wanted to come on board, and they wanted to rename it. So the company is now Neil Gibson's Twisted Comics. So no longer TPUB. But what surprises me is which stories resonate with people. And I think Dolly Parton said it best, that no writer knows what songs are going to be a hit. If they did, they'd all be millionaires. And I write, my biggest title is Twisted Arcs, an anthology. And some stories, which I think are the strongest, people don't resonate with that with. Other ones I think are just fillers people really like. And everyone likes different things. So the thing that surprised me most is just how you can never know what people are going to like.
Now, do you have videos that you send out? I'm on your newsletter, so I see your videos. A couple of things have concerned me, and that is your daughter's school project. Explain that.
I'm not sure I know. Oh, do you mean the drawing of
yes,
me and B? Okay. That was my five-year-old son. He came up to me with a big smile on his face and said, Dad, I made you a present. And so I thought, oh, great. I looked at this drawing, and there's all these stick men in this image, except for one that has a big shocked look on his face. And then a smaller little stick man next to it. So I asked, what is this? And he goes, the scared man is you, that's me, and this is my army, and we're going to kill you. And I just thought, what did I do to deserve that? but my daughter as well. So I mean, my biggest title is called Twisted Dark. I'm known for like my dark thrillers. And she came home with a report from school, and they said, oh, her creative writing is really good, by the way. She comes up with all these dark, twisted storylines. And I just felt very proud.
Oh, I was about to say, you must be very proud about that.
Yeah, when she was younger as well, I don't know. She had to learn how to write sentences and use certain words like threaten. And she wouldn't know how to do it. So I'd say, for example, well, you could say the teacher threatened to give me more homework, so I threatened their life. And she, so the report cards would come back with exclamation marks going, what?
That's amazing. Let's get back to Trapped. Now that you've finished with the Kickstarter campaign, what's the next situation? And more importantly, how can people get their hands on Trapped? And when?
Well, actually, I think they can still buy it through the Kickstarter or through BackerKit. If not, through our website, which is twistedcomics.co.uk. It'll be in bookstores probably about 8 months. But say, I think through our website would be the best way, or through BackerKit. But it's in terms of the next steps, just before this interview call with you, I was speaking to my manager in LA and some other people, and they want me to write a screenplay version of it. So that's what's happening next. I have to do that. And we have people who've already lined up to want to actually invest in the film. They haven't even seen the screenplay yet, which is, that's never happened to me before. So it's an exciting time.
Well, that was my next question, and that is, for the screen, either the small screen or the big screen, would this be a situation in your mind where it would be animated or would be full-life film?
Oh, definitely live action. I asked them, do they want this to be a series or a film? Because Joe, he has so many more stories of things that happened to his life, but I had to narrow it down for the comic book, and so we could expand it, but they said initially do it as a film. If it gets traction, we can always revisit it and expand it later. So that's what I'll be doing. But definitely live action there, because it can be filmed quite cheaply because it's based in the real world. I have some other stories which are quite fantastical. And in comics and animation, it costs just as much to draw two people in a cafe as it does to draw a spaceship attacking another spaceship. You can't do that for film. That's a bit more expensive. But for animation, it's the same price. Because this is set in the real world, it can be filmed quite cheaply, and I think it has to be live action.
Now that you've worked on this series, on this comic called Trapped, are you more into poker than you were before, or not?
I appreciate it more, but I've been invited to casinos with Joe, and it's interesting to see how people talk, the language they use. I don't know. I liken it a bit to tennis, that the more you play and the better you get, the more you enjoy it and the more there is to the game. So Joe did a home game for me at my house, and we had people around, we were playing. And I know how to play poker, but when Joe explains what's actually going on, the options with the cards and what people's tactics could be, it's so much more interesting because you actually get a real understanding. I guess this is why people watch poker with him commentating, because he explains things that a lot of people, amateurs, certainly miss. So I do appreciate the game more, but as soon as the game was over, I've probably forgotten everything I learned, to be honest.
Well, as a poker amateur, I'm just curious to know, what was the biggest surprise or takeaway in doing Trapped and in being involved with Joe? What was your biggest aha moment, if any?
Well, that's a great question. Wow. I think it's what okay at it, it I think the big I was actually on the back of the of me making that Trapped, I actually got hired by this other company to make some highlights of great poker moments in history, and just seeing the reaction of people and learning more about the game at a high level. There's one bit that really stuck out for me. This woman, she won the European Championship for the second time, the first person to do it. And she was explaining that it's easier to win a world championship at poker than it is to consistently win home games in London where the buy-in is just £10. Because people don't play properly at home because the stakes are too low. When the stakes are much higher, people play seriously, and it changes the dynamic completely. Which is why if you just play with chips, it doesn't make a difference. It's not real poker. You play with a bit of money, it changes the game completely. When you play with a lot of money, now it gets interesting.
Hmm. And interesting is one of the words I would use to describe Trapped, which now is available, as you say, for some people who on the Kickstarter. If for more information, people can go to the website. Correct.
Yeah, twistedcomics.co.uk. They can read free samples of all my comics there, because my mission is to get more people reading and creating comics because I just love the medium. Head over there and read some free stuff if you like. And Trap will be up there soon for sale.
Excellent. Neil, thank you very much for being on the program with us once again. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
Neil Gibson, founder and editor-in-chief of Neil Gibson's Twisted Comics. And again, my apologies for calling it by the old company name. You can visit our website at thestuffwild.com. Check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0792, and you'll find links to Neil Gibson's Twisted Comics site. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
There's still more guests, more news, and an idiot of the day coming your way on the Stuff File program. Stay tuned. The Stuff File program is a listener-supported, fan-funded radio show that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Sign up and find out about our rewards program. Being a patron doesn't have to be a long-term commitment. There's absolutely no obligation. You could join today and end whenever you'd like, but the time we have your support would be so greatly appreciated. We'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show and even your ideas for rewards. Join us for the ride. Join us at patreon.com/thestufffileprogram.
Michael Libling is the author of The Serial Killer's Son Takes a Wife. It's a page-turning thriller. You say you've read other serial killer novels? Oh, as Michael will tell you, not like this one.
It's not like any serial killer novel you've read before. It really goes behind the scenes. So when I say he takes a wife, you've got to imagine what it's like to be the offspring of somebody who's murdered multiple people. So how do you live with yourself after that? You were just a kid when it all happened. If you fall in love, how do you tell the woman you love your dad was a serial killer? And how would she react? So the title, it's not entirely clear. But as you get into it, it will become very clear.
The Serial Killer's Son Takes a Wife. It's a recipe for mystery with a scoop of humor and a sprinkle of horror. The Serial Killer's Son Takes a Wife. Available now at Amazon and wherever you buy books.
You're experiencing the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Sit back, relax, let it rattle around between your ears, tickling your cerebellum, and enjoy.
And still to come on the program, we have actor Michael Campion from Fuller House. He's also a magician. Plus, Stuart Nullman is along with another edition of Book Banter. We do have an idiot of the day coming your way a little later on, but right now, much more in Stuff File News right here, right now. 34-year-old Christopher Laney of Lancaster, California, was charged on October the 16th with using an unregistered drone to deliver narcotics to customers on multiple occasions. The Drug Enforcement Administration alleges that Laney used the drone to deliver fentanyl from his home to a church parking lot last year. His client, a woman, died the next day of an overdose. Videos recorded by the drone itself, along with other drugs and three ghost guns, were seized during a raid of Laney's home and used as evidence against him. He faces 25 years in prison. Is that long term just for the illegal drugs or the fact that he had a drone that was unregistered? Yeah. Angry that her Domino's pizza was delivered cold and uncut, a Florida woman allegedly drove from her residence to the restaurant at 1:30 in the morning, where she quarreled with an employee, flung the pizza, and damaged the store's phone. Well, if a flung pizza can damage a telephone, then maybe it wasn't really hot. However, wait a minute. Domino's commercials insist that their food is always hot.
Domino's pizza is hot and fresh because it's delivered in 30 minutes or less, guaranteed.
Police arrested 22-year-old Rickey Hawley for criminal mischief, a misdemeanor, following the alleged pizza rage incident. After spending the night in jail, Hawley was released from custody on her own recognizance. A judge ordered the St. Petersburg resident to stay away from the Domino's outlet, which is 1.4 miles from her home. The arrest report does not indicate what, if any, pizza toppings Hawley requested, or if any stuffed cheesy bread was part of her order.
For hotter, fresher pizza, call Domino's Pizza. Nobody delivers better.
I'm guessing Hawley begs to differ. A judge in northern Greece imposed a suspended 1-month prison sentence on a man convicted of disturbing his neighbors by repeatedly sneaking onto their properties to smell their shoes. The 28-year-old Greek man told the court that he was unable to explain his behavior, which he said had caused him great embarrassment. He stressed that he had no intention of breaking the law or harming anybody, and neighbors testified that he never displayed any sign of aggression during his nocturnal visits. The man was arrested before dawn on October the 8th in the small town of Sindos, about 15 kilometers west of Thessaloniki. Police had been called after a neighbor found the defendant in his front yard sniffing his family's shoes, which had been left outdoors to air. The court heard that there had been at least 3 similar incidents in the past 6 months, despite neighbors having asked the defendant's family to get him to stop. The man was ordered to attend therapy sessions. So, this guy has been pushing his proboscis into all his neighbor's shoes. Gee, if only there was something the neighbors could do to thwart this itinerant inhaler.
Odor eaters are cushiony insoles blended with microscopic activated charcoal, world's most powerful odor destroyer. Nothing destroys foot odor like odor eaters.
Yeah, but that's for fancy shoes. What if you have, oh, I don't know, just sneakers?
There's an odor eaters for every shoe. For ferocious sneaker odor, get sneaker tamers insoles.
Good to know. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here in this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. And speaking of smelling stuff, Polish perfumer Mikhail Gilbert Lack was inspired by his childhood trips in the 1980s to vegetable markets in Poland to create his newest scent, Polish potatoes. His latest perfume is going viral on social media, said Lack, who visited the markets with his grandparents. I create my scents as an olfactory deja vu. The farmer's market was a gateway to another world. Going to the market was like hunting for treasure. The perfumer describes the fragrance as opening with earthy tones of beetroot, golden wheat, pine, and leather. Want to know the price? A bottle, which is 1.7 ounces of Polish potatoes, will set you back $185. Jeez, at that price, do you pronounce it as potato or potato?
Potato, potato, oh, let's call the whole thing off.
Agreed. And let's get to our next guest here in this edition of the Stuff File program. Actor and Fuller House star Michael Campion is literally scaring up some magic. He has a new Halloween-themed live magic show that he's been performing since September 21st at Beetle House LA in Los Angeles. Michael joins us via Zoom from LA. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks very much for being on the program with us.
Absolutely.
So you have been a child star for quite some time. You were a child star when you were, you got on Fuller House when you were 13. So I'm curious to know, what came first, acting or magic?
Acting did, in fact, come first, but magic was a very close second. I started acting when I was 5, and then I got into magic when I was about 8 years old. So very close.
What was the intrigue for you when it comes to magic?
The intrigue, or like how I got into it?
Both. How did you get into it? And what interested you in the first place?
Yeah. So first of all, I've just always loved performing. I mean, I can remember when I was really little and loving the musical theater, you know, productions that I was in. And when I was 8 years old, my aunt and uncle, who were professional clowns at the time, they got me my first magic kit for Christmas. And I absolutely adored it. It was fantastic. It was, you know, the crappy little plastic like ball in the vase and all of that. And I went around, I did it with all my friends, and even then I could see the power of these little magic tricks that I was doing. And from there, I just started going and doing these magic summer camps at this magic shop that was close to me. It just became a serious hobby. And then I started doing it professionally when I was around 16.
Okay, you have to back up a bit. You have professional clowns in your family?
So, well, I actually, you know what's funny? I come from a very, very magical family. My mom is the fairy godmother at Disney World in Orlando. And now my aunt and uncle, they are Santa and Mrs. Claus professionally. So most of my family on my mom's side, they all are performers in some capacity.
And what about on your dad's side?
On my dad's side, it's the complete opposite. They are all military, like construction workers. It's really odd. I've got like a perfect blend of my mom and my dad.
So you're not the only child star, by the way, connected to the Magic Castle. Neil Patrick Harris.
That's right. Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah. He was in the same program that I was when I was very little. It's called the junior program at the Magic Castle. And it's basically a mentorship program. And he came up to that same program that I did. He's a fantastic magician. He was also the president of the Magic Castle for, a couple of terms, which was pretty cool. So, I've marked my place in history there, which I think is pretty awesome.
Now, again, I say the intrigue about magic because there's one thing to be interested in magic, but there's, you know, the old saying, you like politics, you don't want to see the sausage being made. Did that not dissuade you in any way, shape, or form, or that just made you more intrigued and more interested when you found out how magic was made?
You know, what's really interesting is I have always been, you know, with my family, they've always made magic for me, like whether it was my birthday parties or they took me to Disney or they just did something really special for me. And I realized what an amazing experience that is to receive, you know, really feel like someone cares about you or that you're in a whole new world and you feel a sense of wonder and whimsy. And then when I learned that the impact that magic had, I could not wait to learn the behind the scenes because I had always wanted to be able to give someone that experience. Like, for instance, the first time that I found out about Santa and I did not, I learned that he didn't exist and it was a fictional, you know, story. I actually was happy because I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool that I can like perpetuate this story and have people, you know, believe in it and they experience wonder. And I did that for all my cousins and all of my like sisters, little friends and all of that. So it was really, I honestly love it. I love the behind the scenes. It doesn't ruin it for me at all. I'm so happy that I get to give people that experience and I have that tool set now.
Now, the show that you're doing is apt for Halloween, but it's called the Michael Campion's Haunted Mystery Show of Magic. And I'm just curious to know what's the haunted part when it comes to your magic act?
The haunted part is, and it is Halloween themed for the most part. I'd say that there is one actual part in there that is we do a seance and some magical things happen within the seance. But I say haunted. Haunted is an all-encompassing word for describing Halloween-themed events. And I thought that was a pretty apt name rather than saying Michael's Halloween-themed magic show. I think it's a little bit more intriguing.
You know, some people are into Halloween. Some people are not into Halloween. Some people are, and nowadays it seems to be more and more an adult situation that people are really interested in Halloween when they grow up. Where do you lie in that category? I can guess, but I'll ask you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I grew up with Halloween all around me. Every year, my mom was a costume designer too, so she always made family costumes for us. And we always went to Disney because I grew up in Orlando. Again, she works at Disney. And so I was always a big fan of like the more, you know, family friendly, spooky, fun Halloween. It wasn't until later that I got into like Halloween horror nights at Universal and horror movies and scary things that come with Halloween. I'd say for my show, I lie definitely like on the more fun side of things. It's not super scary to where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm terrified right now. But there are definitely moments of like shock and disbelief and what is going on. Sometimes you'll be at the edge of your seat, but it always is in a spirit of fun. It's never in a spirit of a mean-spirited thing, you know.
As I mentioned earlier, you came to our attention by being on Fuller House. You are a trained actor. You've been an actor for most of your life. And you're a magician. Which one do you like more?
That is a great question. So I, to be completely honest with you, and I don't really say this very often, but I don't see myself being an actor as my main focus. I think that across the board, more than just magic, what I want to create is immersive experiences, like immersive theater. I'm a really big fan of creating experiences for people rather than just performing in them. Do not get me wrong. I would be more than happy to perform in my own productions or even do, continue doing film and television and theater. That's all great. But there's something that's so incredible and so rewarding to be able to create your own act and perform it for people. It doesn't even have to be magic. It could be, you know, like I said, a piece of theater, or like I like playing Dungeons and Dragons a lot. It scratches a very primal itch for me in my brain.
Well, you mentioned the word create several times now, and I'm just wondering. It's one thing to do magic, it's one thing to perform magic, but do you, in the course of what your show is, do you actually create things that are unique to you as far as magic is concerned?
So that's an interesting question, because so how do I explain this? There are all the magic principles and the sleights and all of that. Those are universal forms that anyone can adopt in the same way that, let's say, a musician knows the C major scale. You can make a full song in the C major scale. But it's how you do it. It's how you perform these sleights. It's the way in which you put the choreography together that truly makes it unique. For people who are going for like fundamental changes in how a sleight is done, or creating like fully new effects, that is a full different category of magician who actually makes magic for other magicians, or they put out products and they themselves don't necessarily perform it. They're honestly more like engineers. And I wouldn't say I fall into that category. I'd say I'm more of a choreographer of different, you know, universal handlings and sleights, but I obviously put my own spin on it and put my own theming on it and put my own heart and soul into it. So that's what makes it different. I wouldn't say that the effects are necessarily the most brand new thing in the world. I definitely have an interesting way with them, but I have not created fundamentally new magic, if that's what you're asking. Okay.
At your shows, have you ever come across audience members that they come into the show because they're a fan of magic, they like what you're doing, and then they go, wait a minute, is that the guy on Fuller House?
That's so funny. That just happened to me the last time I performed. I had two people come up and they're like, wow, you look so different. You have this beard and your hair is long and your voice is low. What the heck? And I was like, yeah, I was on Fuller House. So that happens quite a bit.
Well, congratulations on all that you're doing. For those who can't get to the Beetle House LA to see your shows, are you planning on touring? Are you planning on doing some sort of videos? Are you on social media that people can see your work?
Yeah, I try not to film the show and put it out there because I want people to be surprised and all of that. But I definitely post snippets of what I'm doing on my Instagram. And that my Instagram is my name. It's Michael Campion. Campion. And if you do want to come get tickets, you can go to Ticketmaster and you type in Michael Campion and my show will be the first thing that pops up. It's every Saturday and I have two Fridays this month, the 11th and the 25th.
And when you're not doing magic, is there a chance that we can see you either on the big or small screen again?
That's a great question. All right, let's say fingers crossed for now, no, but I would like to get something in the future. Absolutely.
Excellent. Michael, thank you very much for taking the time to be on the program with us. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much. Absolutely.
Actor and magician Michael Campion. You can go to our website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0792, and you'll find the link to Michael's page. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
Got something for the mailbag? Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. Send your email to mailbag@thestufffile.com. And remember, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's mailbag@thestufffile.com. Or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Hey, how would you like to become a patron of the Stuff File program? It's easy to do. By going to patreon.com and becoming a patron, you help to make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. And if you become a regular patron, as a Patreon reward, I'll share with you an electronic version of my book, Great Conversations, my interviews with two men on the moon and a galaxy of stars. You've heard me say on many occasions about the myriad of celebrities I've had the chance to talk to that are contained in my book, which is published by Bear Manor Media. You've also heard me mention that some of the celebrities in my book, and many others, can be heard on our page at patreon.com. If you've been on the fence about joining Patreon, let me try to pull you over to our side. Join Patreon and claim your copy of Great Conversations, my interviews with two men on the moon and a galaxy of stars. Sign up at patreon.com/thestufffileprogram.
From our studios in Montreal, Canada, and going out to the rest of the world, this is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's time to crack a spine. The Stuff File presents Book Banter with Stuart Nallman. Once again, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
And Stuart is now with us, and he's getting spooky, very spooky. Hello, Stu.
Hello, Peter. I would say good evening, you know, like Alfred Hitchcock, but still have my hair, and I'd have to put on a few pounds.
Yes.
But, Peter, on this edition of Book Banter, we're going to do the Book Banter Spooktacular. And offer the listeners some of my favorite scary stuff to read.
Just in time for Halloween.
Oh, yes. And please get the candy ready because I took off the fangs and I'm ready to consume some.
Okay.
But let me start with a book that's just been released very recently. It's by a lady named Leanne Moriarty. She wrote a novel called Pretty Little Liars. And it's called Here One Moment. And when you hear about it, you're going to think, why didn't Rod Serling do this? It takes place in Australia, which is Leanne's native country. It's on a flight from Hobart to Sydney. And as the plane is ready to make its final approach to Sydney, Australia, all of a sudden, a person she's a psychic who's dressed very flamboyantly, stands up on the plane, goes to the front of the plane and goes from row to row, pointing all passengers out, saying when they're going to die and at what age they're going to die. No one's stopping her. The passengers are kind of freaked out about this. Row by row, passenger by passenger, she's going to say, you're dying of this at this age. Some are happy with it because they say that, you know, they're going to, you know, leave in their 90s or 80s or 90s. But some say are going to be going very soon, in particular, one of the flight attendants, who the psychic points out that she's going to die from self-abuse at the age of 28.
Wow.
The thing is, this flight attendant this is on the day she turns 28.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So the rest of the book is taken up of how these people that the psychic pointed out, how they're dealing with this, what the, you know, some of the preventive measures they want to do in order to, you know, not to have that premature ending. And then you get to find out from the point of view of the psychic herself, her name is Cherry, and what brought her to what made her a psychic and what brought her to this point in time where she's you know, all of a sudden foretelling people's deaths, strangers that she doesn't even know.
Talk about a buzzkill.
Yeah, but you know what? It's quite gripping, I'll tell you that. And, you know, this could have been an episode of The Twilight Zone very easily. Very easily.
If someone came up to you and was about to tell you when you were going to die, would you want to know that?
Not really. I'd say, you know, get out of my face. Or, you know, that I was. But somehow, the people, for most part, the passengers, you know, on this plane are, for most part, taking it very seriously.
Yeah.
And wondering what they could do to not make it a reality.
You know, if someone walked up to me and said, I can tell when you're going to die, do you want me to tell you? My answer would be, I can tell when you're going to die if you tell me. Or if you attempt to tell me.
You can't use a 1-800 number for that.
Exactly. Exactly. So the book is called?
It's called Here One Moment by Leanne Moriarty. It's published by Doubleday Canada, and it's $38.
Anything else you have for our spooktacular?
Yes, Freda McFadden, whose horror novels have been the rage on the with readers for the past year or so. Many of her books have had a constant place on the New York Times paperback fiction list. But the one that comes to mind is her first book, one of her early books called The Housemaid, which spawned two sequels called The Housemaid's Secret and The Housemaid is Watching, which all three are now on the bestseller list. But the first one is a great introduction. It centers around a young lady named Millie Calloway, who gets a job as a housemaid for a well-to-do family in just outside of New York City. And she's just released from jail, and she wants to redeem herself. But she finds that, well, first of all, the one dangerous thing, well, I wouldn't say dangerous, but the room she gets, her accommodations, was once a closet. So there's not much room to move around. Then the wife, her name is Eden, is also locks her out. At the end of each day, she goes into her room and Mrs. Winchester locks the door from the outside. So the wife is kind of evil. She's kind of weird and always on her case. But the husband, whose name is Andrew, gets along with Millie and they start a little romance. You know, he's like the good cop to the wife's bad cop. But somehow, there's a twist to this, which I will not reveal, but it just hits you right between the eyes. And I understand why Freda McFadden's books are doing so well on the New York Times list. So there's, you know, the Housemaid, there's the two sequels. There's also The Teacher, which is the first book I read and reminded me from a story from either Creepy or Eerie, or EC Comics. And she has a new book coming out very soon called The Boyfriend. I'm sure it's going to be just as chilling a read as her other books that are readily available.
So that one is The Housemaid?
The Housemaid. Start with that one. It's by Freda McFadden. It's published by Grand Central Publishing and $16.99.
And is there anything else you want to scare us with?
Just a couple of doses of Edgar Allan Poe. I saw a play at the Fringe Fest, the Montreal Fringe Fest this summer, and it was based on the Fall of the House of Usher and the life of Edgar Allan Poe, and it was terrific. So I decided to read a little bit of Poe. And I read the story, The Fall of the House of Usher, which is very macabre, and it's about a man who visits his old college friend in a crumbling mansion, and he's full of tragedy, his family's full of tragedy, and the favor he asks the friend is really dark. I will not say what it is, but it's really dark. And the other story is The Telltale Heart, which when I read it, it reminded me of the song by the Alan Parsons Project, which inspired the song, which was on their album Tales of Mystery and Imagination, about a man who is haunted by an older man who he thinks has an evil eye. He calls it the vulture eye. So he decides to do something. He decides to liquidate the old man and put him underneath the floor of his mansion, of the mansion where he lives. And as the police are looking for the body of the old man, the protagonist somehow hears this ticking sound. He thinks it's the heart of the old man coming from the floorboards, and he slowly goes mad. That ticking sound slowly drives him crazy. So, wow. Those, if you're going to start reading Edgar Allan Poe, who was an influence on H.P. Lovecraft, Stephen King, and Alfred Hitchcock, go with Fall of the House of Usher and The Telltale Heart.
But I truly believe that there is no Fall of the House of Usher, but there definitely is the Fall of the House of Diddy.
That's for sure. And who knows what kind of horrors will emit from that falling house.
Absolutely. So again, the three books are, or the three categories are, from our Spooktacular.
We got Leanne Moriarty's book, Here One Moment, published by Doubleday Canada, $38. Then start your Freda McFadden reading with The Housemaid. It's published by Grand Central Publishing, $16.99 in trade paperback. And also, if you can get it, Edgar Allan Poe's short stories are available in anthologies. I got one at Indigo Bookstore for $7, actually, called Classic Tales of Horror. And start with The Fall of the House of Usher and The Telltale Heart.
Excellent. And how can one find you besides, you know, trick-or-treating?
Yeah, and getting those fun-size candy bars.
Well,
like
it's
Milky Way and
Three
Musketeers.
It's all relative. To you, they're all fun-size.
Yeah, that's true. Good point well taken.
Yep.
But you won't find me at the Bates home somewhere in near Fairvale, California. You'll find me on the pages of the Montreal Times, mtltimes.ca, my blog, stuartnelmansgrapevine.wordpress.com, and on the main... Not St. Lawrence Boulevard, but the Maine. It's a Montreal-oriented website, and it's just go to themaine.com.
Thank you very much, Stu.
You're welcome, Peter.
Stuart Nelman with another edition of Book Banter here on the Stuff File program with me, Boo, Peter Anthony Holder.
The Stuff File.
And we're just about a racetrack for this edition of the Stuff File program. We do have an idiot of the day coming your way a little later on. And, of course, we have more Stuff File news right here, right now. The state of Florida is still reeling from the devastation that hit in the form of not just one, but two hurricanes. In times like these, humanity seems to band together as people help their fellow human beings. But once in a while, there are people like this. One guy is behind bars after he reportedly attempted to steal a generator that was powering a traffic light in the wake of Hurricane Milton. The incident happened in Sun City Center, where Tampa Electric Company workers caught Soyel Zapata-Dye unhooking the power-producing device. Although Zapata-Dye left the scene, one of the workers managed to take a photo of him and his license plate. Deputies caught up with him at his house a short time later and arrested him. He's been charged with third-degree grand theft during a state of emergency. Well, I guess now he's not generating anything, including sympathy. Police in Los Angeles thought that the NoHo Diagnostic Center was a facility that was an illegal pot-growing operation, so they raided it. They didn't find any cannabis growing at the facility, according to NoHo's lawsuit against the city and its police department. And now that you hear that they have a lawsuit, you kind of see where this story is going, huh? But one officer did find an MRI machine behind a door with a sign warning people not to bring metal inside. He carried his rifle into the room, dangling in his right hand with an unsecured strap. The magnets grabbed the gun, and it was left stuck to the machine. The lawsuit claims an officer then triggered the machine's emergency release, which allowed a large quantity of helium to escape and damage the equipment. According to the lawsuit, on leaving the room, the officer did not take the bullet-filled magazine that had landed on the floor. Remember, it takes a doctor to interpret what an MRI machine has revealed about someone's brain. Although in this case, we can all guess. You know, I was kind of tempted to make him the idiot of the day, but I restrained myself. But, boys and girls, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. It's time now for the idiot of the day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. This Stuff File presents the idiot of the day.
A woman showed Manchester Airport officers her holiday photos, and they immediately arrested her. 27-year-old mother of four, Larissa Linz, arrived at the airport after flying from Brazil. She claims she was in the UK to, quote, research nice places, unquote, having previously flown through France and Portugal. She denied she had brought anything illegal into the country and showed officers photos from her time in France. However, as they scrolled through the pictures, they came across a picture of white pellets of cocaine, and further searches revealed that Linz had ingested and concealed a kilo of the drug both internally and externally. She pleaded guilty to the fraudulent evasion of the prohibition on an importation of a Class A drug. On October 17th, she was jailed and told that she will almost inevitably be deported back to Brazil after serving 40% of her sentence. Linz was arrested and interviewed, and she admitted swallowing 100 pellets before flying to France and spent the next 3 days passing them before returning them to another person. She will be in jail for 3 years. Now, why? Oh, why? When you're at the airport and you know you're smuggling drugs, do you volunteer to show your holiday pictures to customs officials, knowing that you have taken pictures of the very drugs you're smuggling? Actually, let's just back up a bit here. Why are you taking pictures of the very drugs you're smuggling? One reason, and one reason only. You're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program, number 0792. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com. And once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0792. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Spoutable, Mastodon, and Blue Sky as PA Holder. Check us out on patreon.com, where you can become a patron of the program. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including kdxradio.com, over the air on World FM in New Zealand, WLSLLP FM in Dade City, Florida, KZZHLP FM in Eureka, California, CKUW FM in Winnipeg, CFMU in Hamilton, CKLU in Sudbury, Local 107.3 FM in St. John, CHSR in Fredericton, CFQR 600 in Montreal, and also streaming on just about any streaming service your little heart desires. That's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Always remember that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. And with a bushel of apples, you could have a hell of a time with the doctor's spouse.